falls from there, got problems. Last few Wednesday nights, we've been studying particular people in the Bible, events of the Bible. We've been talking about several different ones. Today, we're going to be in Job. So turn with me in the book of Job, if you would, please. Just read a few little things out of there. You know, Job is another character worth seeing and studying, because he shows us really a lot about our life. And typically, we want to have all the blessings without the persecutions. We don't want any tribulation. We don't want any issues or problems. We want everything to go well and be peaceful all our life. But that's not the way it's going to be. And if you ever asked yourself, maybe you yourself went through something, or maybe you know somebody went through something, and wonder, why does bad things seem to happen to God's people? And you would think, well, how could something that tragic, how could God allow something that tragic to happen to one of his children? And we don't understand that we don't have the opportunity as a creation to question the Creator. What's the difference between asking God and questioning God? You can ask God for certain things in your life, but you should never question the Lord on what he's doing. He probably won't tell you anyway, but if you did, it's never a good idea. The book of Job teaches us that about human sufferings, even for godly people. We know Job was a righteous man. It tells us in chapter 1, verse 1, there's a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feareth God and escheweth or hateth evil. He was perfect and upright, and that would be an awesome statement to hear about each and every one of us from the Lord, is that we are perfect and upright. He said that about Job. And in Job's life, you say, well, he had everything. He had everything going for him. But while you're looking at and studying Job, we're not going to read, of course, all the verses or everything that's going on. You should be familiar with the story. You have to remember, not just in this particular case, but when we studied Jacob, and we studied Abraham, Isaac, and all the other people that we're going to see in the scriptures later on. Remember, Job, just like everybody else, is just another human being. They're the same man, human, sinner as everybody else. Job wasn't any different, though he was perfect and upright with God. Abraham was not any different than us and who we are. He wasn't a special super saint, nothing. Yet he was a friend of God because he followed God and believed God. And so we see God doesn't take people and use them because they're perfect or they're blessed or they're greater than everybody else. But he is transforming every single one of us every day, that we can be more like him and be in his image more every day of our walk if we want to. And Job was perfect and upright. Now, I think we can understand a little bit about the sufferings of God's people by just looking at the characters of Job here. So the three things that we're going to see in this book is, first of all, we see Job himself. We know Job had prospered. It tells us here, verse number 2 and 3, and there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of ox, 500 she-asses, and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. He was blessed. He was prosperous. And when we look at our lives and say, Lord, I wish, I had more. I need more. I always need just a little bit more. And then when God grants us everything we ever wanted, we'll say, see, how did you get all that? Well, it just happens. Prosperity just happens. No, it's really from the Lord. Everything's from God. But God decided, because of the character of Job, that he was going to be blessed. And he blessed him with a large family. He blessed him with a large income. That was all the sheep and the oxen and the asses he had and all the servants of his house. I mean, to take care of, I'm not a farmer like Cowboy is or was or whatever. I don't think I could take care of one cow or one chicken. There's too much work. Every time I hear about what you have to do to them, or just one horse, I don't want to have horses. But until you have to, work and deal with them every single day and all the work that you have to do is, forget it, I'll just get a parakeet. It's a whole lot simpler. Just give them some bird seed every now. But he had 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and 3,000 camels and 7,000 sheep. He had a lot of service to take care of all those animals. I mean, that's a lot of work. I don't know how many shepherds you need for sheep. Somebody told me one time it's something like 100 sheep per shepherd, but I don't really know. I never studied it, but it probably makes sense. You can't take care of and have 1,000 sheep follow one. It's just too much. And so he had a plenty of servants. And it says here that he had a great amount of a household or servants. Very great, it says. And so he was very prosperous. But then as you study the rest of that, it talks about his family and how he would make sacrifices for just to make sure they didn't sin against God and so forth. And then we see, Satan, he comes before the Lord and verse number 7, the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? See, God again mentions about Job and how he's perfect and upright. He loves the Lord. He loves me, and he hates evil. He would do anything to not have sin in his household. He always sacrifices. He makes sure everything's taken care of. And here we can look at our life and say, Lord, I go to church every day. I tithe. I give the missions. I give love offerings. I try to help people out. I study the Bible. I pray 5 times a day. I fast once a month. I do everything that you want me to do, Lord. And I'm thankful for the prosperity that you've given me. But then after the prosperity comes adversity. No one wants adversity. And Job was trying to do everything in his life to be perfect before the eyes of the Lord. And we can do the same thing. But we have to realize that there's going to be adversity even with prosperity. And prosperity, we say, it happens. God just blesses and, I now have all this that I didn't have before. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And then adversity hits in. Instead of saying it happens, we say, what is happening? What's going on in my life? Everything was perfect and great yesterday, but then I wake up today and it looks like everything is just falling apart. Everything just seems to be burning up. I seem to be losing everything I ever had. And overnight, Job loses a ton of stuff, including his own family. And that's got to be rough and difficult. Job was not any perfect person other than what he stood for the Lord. He was still a sinner. He was still a man. He was still human with human emotions. And when you lose one child or one loved one in your household, you can imagine the difficulty it is trying to just cope with that. But he lost all his children, all 10 of his children at the same time, not including all his servants and all his wealth and everything he ever had. It all just came crashing down. And it's not everything that Job was going through is not recorded here. But as you read through the scriptures, it makes a lot of sense on what Job was saying, especially to his friends that were there with him. Because he was just like any of us. We would be wondering, Lord, what is going on? Because his friends asked him later, said, basically summarizing all the things they said about him, said, you just must be wrong with God. Look what he's doing to you. And Job says, I'm righteous in God's eyes. Now, it wasn't right for him to say that. God corrects him later. But what he's trying to tell his friends was that, I didn't do anything to deserve this. And they're going, well, you're wrong, Job, because this wouldn't come on you unless God was punishing you for something. And Job's saying, all I did was serve God. All I did was do right. All I did was try to do my best before God. And look at the adversity I'm going through. That's, if you read it all, that's what it sums up that happens. He is wondering what's going on in my life. And then after adversity, we always have that perplexity. Why is this happening? Have you ever been through something and said, Lord, why is this happening in my life? Why did you allow this to happen? Why did that person have to die? Why did I lose my job? Why did I lose all my income? Why don't I have anything? Why does it look like you're not blessing my life anymore, but just a month ago, it seemed like I was on top of the world? And we start questioning God. But what's going on in our life? Job was one of the characters we see. But also in our life, just like Job's life, there's a second character. There's Satan. And he is standing before the Lord. And the Lord tells him, you know, have you considered Job? And he says, well, you know, if you remove the hedge about him in verse number 10, you know, he would, you know, curse your name. And as soon as I get started on him. And so Satan, you know, his main purpose is to deliver or dispel lies. He is going to do his best to make sure you don't understand the truth. He's going to make sure that you, what you're hearing and what you're seeing and what others, he'll bring others your way to tell you something false. Just if it's possible that you'll give up on God. It doesn't say that he was involved with the friends that were sent to Job. But I know from personal experience that Satan will bring people you think are friends to you. And when you're going through some adversity, that will make you start questioning God's word and God's promises and God's way in your life. And all of a sudden, after they leave your house, you're thinking, Lord, why are you doing this to me? Satan, all he does is dispel lies. He delivers by his own hand to sufferings. Now, God had to give him permission to do so, but he delivers it. He'll deliver sufferings in your life. He also, we know from all the different scriptures and why he even fell in the first place, is he desires worship. But when we desert God, we'll end up desiring Satan. And you say, well, not Satan. Well, what Satan represents, the world, all the worldly possessions, all the glory and honor that you used to receive that now you're not getting. If you start looking away from God and start wanting those things, you're doing the same thing as desiring Satan, because that's what Satan wants you to do. He wants you to turn your eyes off the Lord and start focusing on everything else in this world and say, I want more, I want more, I want more. I want more people to know me. I want more popularity. I want more riches. I want more glory. I want more. I want to be lifted up. So people know who I am. And Satan loves it when you get that kind of attention. Because he wants to worship. And all of a sudden, our worship is not of God anymore, to God anymore. Job was prosperous, but he went through some adversity. Satan was there to deliver some sufferings on him that he could turn his way before God. He told God that. He said, if you'll just take your hand off of him, take your blessings off of him, once I'm done with him, he's going to curse thee to thy face. But then, fortunately and thankfully, in our life and in Job's life, we have that third person, God. God is always there. God didn't leave or forsake Job. God was in charge the entire time. God, we know, is a sovereign God. That means that his actions are always planned. God always knows what he's doing, and he must grant permission to Satan to be able to do anything to us. So if we keep that in mind and realize that in our life, I know we have Satan on one side trying to turn our eyes off of God, trying to get us lying about all kind of things about what we should deserve and what we should have and what God should give us and everything else, that we start turning our attention away from God because we don't think that he's involved in our life anymore, and we start getting way off track. We also got to remember that God is in charge, and he would never allow anything to happen in our life that wasn't the right thing. We have to remember that, because when life gets tough and things get difficult and we don't understand what's going on in our life, Job, again, was a perfect example of not only a righteous person, but someone who lost every single thing in his life, even his health. He lost it all. And God says, I'm still sovereign. I'm still in charge. Not only do we serve a sovereign God, but we serve a wise God. He's always in control. God doesn't make mistakes. He knows exactly what he's doing. He knew what was going to happen when he mentioned to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Now, just for kicks, I'm just going to tell you, I wouldn't want my name there. Have you considered my servant Job? Yeah. Consider Joe. Look at Joe. I don't want Satan on my back. I don't want his attention. I don't want to have anything to do with him. But see, God is wise, and he's under control, and he would never have said that if there wasn't a reason behind it. So not only do we know that God is sovereign and wise, but we also know he's just. Being a just God, he doesn't owe us any explanation on what he's doing. We have to believe by faith that he will do what's right every single time. That's what makes him just. So if that's true, what was he doing with Job? Was he up in heaven in the glory playing a board game with somebody? So I'm going to watch what happens when I mess with Job here. And he calls saying, hey, look at Job. And so I'm thinking he's just, you know, playing with them. No, he's not playing with Job. He loves Job. Why did all these things happen? I'm sure Job asked that many a times. What is this? Why is this stuff going on? Why is it happening to me? Because God is sovereign, and because he is wise, and because he is just, he knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows Job. Even though he said in the Bible he was perfect and upright, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, even though that was the words that God used to describe Job, God still knew there were some growth opportunities in Job. Even though he blessed them with all these things. And you can look at that and look at somebody, another Christian or somebody, another pastor, another church or some member, and say, man, they got it all. They got everything going for them. I heard, I think it's from somebody, you were telling me about some doctor that wrote a check. I think it was at Cowboy Church or something, country church. I don't know. Yeah, it wrote them $100,000 so they could help buy their building, so they could build their building. So I could look at that and say, oh, Lord, come on! Man, Where's our doctor at? Where's that person that's going to write us that? And just in San Antonio, a church that I know on in Southside, about 2-3 years ago, one of the members died, and they left $150,000 to the church so they could build another building that they needed on the property. And they built that building debt-free. God can do anything. But we look at that, and we look at other people and say, well, what about us, Lord? Why can't we do that? Why can't that happen to us? It can. Anything's possible with God. But he doesn't do that with everybody. And yet, he takes Job, and he humbles Job. That's what happened in chapter 38. Now, I'm not going to read all that, but I'm going to just read some of that. Whoops. Turned way too far. Here it is. I don't know how that happened. Then the Lord answered unto Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? And I could summarize that in my terms, but I think you know what he's saying. Gird up now thy loins like a man. If I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Don't ever put yourself in a position that you're going to have to answer to God. Because he's going to be right and you're going to be wrong every single time. But he's trying to teach Job something. This is the whole purpose behind what he did. Though Job had a lot, and Job looked like Job was being blessed a lot, and nothing could be better than what he had already, God still knew there was some things that Job needed to learn. So he humbles Job and tells him, I'll give you an answer. Where were thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched a line upon it, whereupon the foundations thereof fastened, and who laid the cornerstones thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and the sons of God shouted for joy, and who shut up the seas with doors, and when it brake forth as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the clouds of garment thereof, and thickness of the swallowing band for it, and break up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further. Here shall thy proud ways be stayed. Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days, and caused the day springs to know his place? He just goes on and on and on through that whole chapter, saying, Job, you don't know as much as you think you know. You definitely don't know as much as me. I'm the Lord. I created all this. I put it all in place. No one can understand, including you, how it was ever done. And Job has to humble himself before the Lord because earlier, like I said, when you summarize what he said, basically you're saying, there's no reason for all this stuff to be happening to me. And God said, you don't even know near as much as you should know. He humbled Job. But then in chapter 42, verses 7 through 17, I'm going to read all of them. I'm going to read a little bit of that. He honors Job. Chapter 42, he says, and it was so after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said unto Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up yourselves as a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me the things which is right, like my servant Job. He honors Job amongst his friends, said, you are nowhere near like Job. And they looked at him earlier and said, Job, God's mad at you, man. You done messed up way too many times. There's some hidden sin going on in your life, and you're just not admitting to it. Come on, just tell us what it is. God knows. Look what he's done to you. God wasn't punishing Job for his sin. God was actually molding Job for the future. He humbles Job. He honors Job. And then chapter 42, verses 11 through 17, he restores it all. And he gives back to them everything they had. As in verse number 10, the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren and his sisters and all they had been in his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in the house. And they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter of the Job more than at the beginning, his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 she asses, and he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. God restores everything. So you look at Job from Job's perspective, from the beginning, he served God. He was faithful to God. He did everything that he thought was he supposed to be doing with God. And even it says in there that he would make sacrifices for his sons and daughters just in case they sinned against God. He didn't know it. Because he didn't want God's wrath upon him or his family or his servants or anybody else. He was trying to do the best he could. And yet, when the adversity hits, he begins to look at all that he had and look at everything God has done for him and all that God was giving him. And he cannot understand why God would allow this to happen to him. And that's what God was trying to expose. So he ends up humbling Job to the point where Job realizes he was wrong for questioning God. God is the sovereign God. God is the wise God. God is the just God. He's always been in control and always will be in control. Whatever happens in our life is for our good and for His glory. There's a reason why it happens, and we cannot go to God and question what was going on. But even though Job did that, God still taught him what he needed to learn and gave him everything back that he had before. Twice. So he said, well, in our eyes, he said, I don't really want to go through all that, Lord. I'm satisfied with what I got. God knows our heart. And he knows what needs to happen for us to continue to grow and be more like the Lord every single day. It is right for us to want to live our life right and to do right and to follow God and to continue to do everything that we're supposed to do as a believer, that we can stay faithful to God until He calls us home. Yet when adversity hits our life, we are not to start questioning God or why it's happening. Because God has a reason behind it, otherwise He would not have allowed it to happen. There's always a reason. God wants you to learn that reason, and then He'll continue to bless you and use you. We can learn about the sufferings of God. You know, why does bad things happen to God's people? Because God, one reason is because God always has something to teach us. Something going on. When He first talked to Satan and asked him, have you considered my servant Job? Do you not know and realize that God understood everything that was going to happen from that day forward? And yet He knew that it was going to be the best thing for Job if he went through it. Sometimes we go through some things and we don't know why, and we may never know why, but we also need to decide if God's behind it and He has to allow it, then let's just give God the glory somehow through this difficult situation. Let's just find a way to give God the glory and praise. Let's stand together as we pray together.